Good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, by your great goodness, we are permitted to enter your house and to worship in your holy temple. Lead us all, O Lord, in righteousness, even as you prepare the way before us for our spiritual well-being through the forgiveness of sins. Guide and control our worship this morning, so that we grow in grace and truth to honor and praise you for your indescribable gift, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Rise to Arms with Prayer Employ You. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of worship that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the top of page 3. We begin our worship service in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who's begun this good work in us, bring it to completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, that in the last day, when Jesus shall come again in glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to life immortal in heaven with him. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. We read from chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 6 through 8. Both of our scripture readings today remind us of the importance of holding to the Word of God and holding to every word of the Word of God. We read from Deuteronomy chapter 4. So now, Israel, listen to the statutes and the ordinances that I am teaching you, and carry them out so that you may live and so that you may enter the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving to you and take possession of it. Do not add to the word that I am commanding you. Do not subtract from it, so that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you. Let me jump to verse 6. Keep them and put them into practice, because in this way your wisdom and your understanding will be recognized by all the people who hear about all these statutes. And they will say, this great nation is certainly a wise and understanding people. Because what other great nation is there that has a God as close to it as the Lord our God is to whenever we call on him? What other great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances as righteous as this entire law that I am presenting to you today? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of Mark. We read from chapter 13, verses 31 through 37. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus reminds us in these verses to watch and pray. Watch for his second coming. What's the best way to watch and be prepared for Jesus' second coming? Again, it's to be in his word. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Watch, be alert, and pray, because you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going away on a journey. When he left his home, he put his servants in charge and assigned what each one was to do. He also commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house is coming. Whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or early in the morning. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, keep watch. This is the word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. At this time, we ask our church council to come forward for the installation of our church officers. Dear brothers, in a special meeting of the congregation, you have been elected as members of our church council to carry out your duties for the rest of this calendar year. As such, you are to join with me in the work of God's kingdom among us to build it up and to strengthen it through his word. You are to see that the worship services are held regularly and conducted decently and in order, that the gospel is preached in its truth and purity according to the teachings in Scripture, and as they are found in the Lutheran confessions, that the necessary provisions be made for the instruction of our young, and that the Christian discipline in this congregation be maintained. You are to administer to the earthly affairs of this congregation, to keep its property in good repair, and to provide for the called workers and for all the other necessary expenses. You are to assist the pastor in the care of our members, including those who are sick and needy. You are to help in the cultivation of peace, harmony, and love among the members of this congregation, in the promotion of the general welfare of our congregation, and in the furtherance of Christ's kingdom here at home as well as abroad. You are also, as servants of Christ and officers of his church, to set for yourselves and your own households and for the whole congregation an example of a devout Christian life. In order then that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve, I now ask you in the presence of God and of this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully perform the duties of your office in conformity with the ordinances of God, the confessions of our church, and the constitution of this congregation, according to the ability to which God gives you? If so, answer by saying yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Whereas you have made this solemn promise, I commit to you the exercise of the office unto which you have been elected. I charge you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the church of which he is the head, that you give all diligence to perform your duties with untiring faithfulness. Make the word of God your guide, search it daily for instruction, and to the end that your ministries may serve to the glory of God and to your own great joy, may God, without whom we can do nothing, give you such rich measure of his grace and abundantly bless all your faithful labors. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Most merciful and gracious God, you are an ever-present witness of all our promises and vows. We pray for Jesus' sake that you would send down your Holy Spirit upon these your servants, that they may discharge their duties with diligence, steadfastness, boldness, and wisdom. Grant them in particular the spirit of devotion and prayer, that in every time of need, they may by prayer and supplication make their requests for the church known to you, and in this house lift up holy hands without doubt or wrath or doubting. Enable them in all things to show themselves to be patterns of good works, that by their lives they may build up this congregation, that the enemies of your church may find no ground for complaint. Set them as a blessing to your believers. Keep them in sincere harmony with their pastor, and grant that also by their service the unity of this congregation may be strengthened, that your name be hallowed, your kingdom enlarged, and your will done. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Go then, dear brothers, as you have been called. Be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Depart in peace. You may be seated. Congregation, please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Nicene Creed on page 7. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Our next hymn is found in the TAN worship supplements that are in the holders in front of you in the pew. In the TAN worship supplement, turn to page 774 for the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Thank you.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the valiant one who fights for us and has defeated all our foes, dear fellow redeemed. How did you determine what you were going to wear today? Are you one of those people who lays out your outfits the night before, carefully chooses what you're going to wear? Maybe because it's a Sunday, you put a lot of thought into what you are wearing today. Maybe you're coming in your Sunday best, or maybe you got the memo that we're saying goodbye to two of our beloved members who are moving to Hawaii, and you wore your Hawaiian shirt or your Hawaiian outfit. Maybe you're just wearing what your wife told you you should wear. Or maybe younger children, maybe you're wearing what your mom told you you should wear. I think the real important thing is that everyone seems to have, in fact, done the right thing and came dressed today, period, right? Glad you got dressed before you came to church today. So congratulations. However, just because we've gotten dressed for the day does not mean that we are fully clothed. Did you remember, as you got dressed this morning, to put on the armor of God? Well, the Apostle Paul will speak about that in our text for today. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. That sermon text is found in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers in this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to take a stand on the evil day, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness fastened in place, and with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace tied to your feet like sandals. At all times, hold up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Also, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. At every opportunity, pray in the Spirit with every kind of prayer and petition. Stay alert for the same reason, always persevering in your intercession for all the saints. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When you came to church this morning, it probably didn't look or feel much like a war zone. Probably didn't enter the front doors of our church dodging enemy fire. We didn't need to do a sweep of the parking lot looking for IEDs or landmines this morning. I picked up a little bit of trash on the way over here, but no landmines, no IEDs. No, it's actually a very pleasant day. And hopefully you came to worship this morning with peace in your hearts. So it's pretty obvious and very clear that we are not in the midst of a physical war. But our text reminds us, as God's Word does in a number of other places, that we are, in fact, in a spiritual war. It's a battle that rages every day, and you and I are soldiers in it. We are soldiers in God's army. Listen again to how the Apostle Paul describes this battle in our text. Look at verse 12. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." It is a spiritual battle against spiritual forces. And because of that, because it is a spiritual battle, we sometimes can forget, because we're very physical people, we sometimes can forget that we're not in it. We can forget that we are not fighting a battle. And our enemy, the devil, would like nothing more than for us to forget that fact. He'd love it if we just didn't fight at all. As our text indicates, the devil is a schemer. He's a master tactician, especially in this field of spiritual warfare. He's more cunning, more clever, more ruthless than we can even imagine. And he'll use every and any tactic he can to attack us spiritually, including using those sneak attacks to hit us when we least expect it. Or even make it seem like we're not being attacked at all. Or make it seem like we're not really involved in any kind of spiritual war, so everything's just fine, keep doing what you're doing, and move along. Yes, it is true that sometimes the devil does line up the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil around us, trying to intimidate us like a dark army in front of us. But most often his best tactic is just to convince us that he's not even there. Isn't that a famous quote, that the greatest trick the devil ever pulled is to convince people that he doesn't exist? He does this so he can lead us into a false sense of security, to make us think that we're not actually under spiritual attack, that we're not really soldiers in a spiritual battle that has deep consequences, eternal consequences, and therefore we don't really need our spiritual armor. We don't really need our spiritual weapons. Remember this about the devil as well. He is, at his core, a liar. He will use whatever lies, whatever half-truths, whatever deceptions he can to get us to let our guard down. Yes, to tempt us to sin, but also his point in tempting us to sin is to draw us further and further away from Jesus. His ultimate goal, of course, is to lead us completely into unbelief. And then he's got us. Lead us into then eternal death. He loves to come at us with those lies and those deceptions. God doesn't love you. How could he? Look what you've done. God isn't real, and if he is, where is he in the midst of all the tragedy and the horrible things you see going on in the world? You are just too sinful to be an actual child of God. There's no way that God can forgive you after what you've done. Ever heard those voices before? Ever heard those lies and deceptions from Satan? He'll even try and infiltrate our own ranks with one of his most successful tactics, and that is weaving false teachings and false teachers into the very church of God itself, into our congregations, into our church bodies. If he can convince us to believe things that God doesn't say, then he's won a battle there. And he often uses leaders and teachers from within churches. Think of the spiritual damage that he can inflict doing that. Think of the spiritual damage he has inflicted doing that over the centuries. This is all a reminder why it's so essential for us to put on the armor of God and to just never take it off. The Apostle Paul encourages us in our text to put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. He says, "For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to take a stand on the evil day, and after you have done everything, to stand." So that's the enemy we are facing. He's terrible, and he can be terrifying. But take heart, fellow soldiers in Christ. We not only have the armor of God for our protection, we have someone who is more powerful and someone who protects us and fights for us that is far more powerful than Satan himself. Listen again to how Paul begins our text for today. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Notice how our text does not start. It doesn't say, "Be strong in yourself and in your mighty power." How's that spiritual battle going to go? You and your powers versus Satan and his powers. We're going to lose every single time. But if we rely on the Lord, if we are, as Paul says, strong in his mighty power, we cannot be defeated. In fact, in Christ, we've already won. And the cross reminds us of it and proves that he won. The Apostle Paul also once wrote these words to remind us of our complete and total victory in Christ. From Romans chapter 8, he says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors." The Greek there indicates super conqueror, an undefeatable conqueror, through him, Christ, who loved us. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." I mentioned the cross just a few moments ago. On that cross, on Calvary's hill, Christ defeated the devil and all of our enemies, sin, death, and even hell itself. His resurrection, that empty tomb, reminds us that that is where our battle was won. And when this battle of life is done, because of what Jesus did on that cross and in his resurrection, we have eternal rest, eternal life in heaven waiting for us. In the meantime, while we are still here fighting the spiritual battles that we face in this sin-filled world, he gives us the most powerful protective armor and the best spiritual weapons available. Listen again to Paul's words in our text and pay attention to each piece, what each piece of armor represents and how each piece is used in our fight with the devil. Paul says, "For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand, take a stand on the evil day, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand then with," and he mentions first, "the belt of truth buckled around your waist." The belt of truth, of course, referring to the truth of God's word. Referring, of course, to Jesus himself, who is the truth, to counter those lies and those deceptions of the devil. He continues to put on the breastplate of righteousness fastened in place. Jesus' righteousness covers us completely, like a breastplate that is shielding our hearts and our souls from sin. The devil's accusations cannot stick to us. They cannot penetrate that breastplate of righteousness. And when God looks at our hearts, he sees only this righteousness of Christ protecting us and covering us. Paul continues, "And with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, tied to your feet like sandals." The gospel of peace, that good news, the gospel of Christ, is what we use to march forward with as we go out into the world. In verse 16, he tells us, "At all times, hold up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Because of that gift of faith God has given to us in Christ, the devil's lies and attacks bounce off of us like arrows hitting a shield. Verse 17 says, "Also take the helmet of salvation." That's a very important piece of the armor, because the helmet of salvation refers to something that protects our head, the most vital part of our body. The head, our mind, and our spirit is protected by the helmet of salvation. The truth that we have eternal salvation because of Jesus keeps those lies and false teachings of the devil out of our heads. And again from verse 17, he says, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." This is the most unique piece of God's armor, because you notice the rest of the pieces of God's armor are solely for defense purposes. The sword of the Spirit is not just a defensive piece of armor, it's also a weapon that can attack. But our attacks with the word of God does not produce casualties or death. No, the sword of the Spirit from the word of God produces life. It convicts and convinces the hearts of those who were once lost in the devil's lies and fighting his forces to the light and life of Christ that he produces. And he ends up producing through that sword of the Spirit more soldiers for his army, more citizens for his heavenly kingdom. And finally, don't forget one more weapon Paul encourages us to wield in our spiritual warfare. That weapon is mentioned in the last verse of our text, and that is prayer. Notice how he concludes this section. He says, at every opportunity, pray in the Spirit with every kind of prayer and petition. Stay alert for the same reason, always persevering in your intercession for all the saints. His words there remind us not just to pray for ourselves and our own protection, but he reminds us to pray interceding for all the saints, your fellow believers. Pray for their protection as well. So as you get dressed each day, don't forget to put on the armor of God. We are not fully dressed for the day without it. But with it, we are ready for any day. We have Christ's armor. We have his weapons. We have his strength and his mighty power fighting for us. In Christ, we cannot lose. Be strong in the Lord, in armor of light, with helmet and sword, with shield for the fight. On prayer be dependent, be belted and shod, in breastplate resplendent, the armor of God. So wield well your blade, rejoice in its powers. Fight on undismayed, for Jesus is ours. Then in him victorious, your armor lay down, to praise ever glorious his cross and his crown. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We'll continue with our prayers for today. Prayers have been requested for Scott and Diane as we bid them a fond aloha as they move to Hawaii tomorrow. Any other prayer requests for today? Yes. She did pass away. Her husband's name is Jim, correct? Yeah. Any other prayer requests? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, our shepherd and savior, you are the resurrection and the life. We thank you for the life that you gave to Rose and for the faith that you put in her heart through the Holy Spirit and your word. We ask you to be with her loved ones and family members, especially for her husband Jim, as they mourn her loss from this life. Help them also to rejoice that she is with you in heaven, where there is peace and eternal joy forever. Help us all to look forward to that day when we will be reunited with Rose and all believers who've gone before us. Fill Jim with your peace and your comfort, knowing that you're right there with him, and that you, the way, the truth, and the life, will lead him to his heavenly mansion with Rose and all believers when the last day comes. We thank and praise you, dear Lord, for watching over them and blessing them in their life together. Dear Jesus, in you and because of you, we are truly brothers and sisters and members of God's family. We thank you for the years you've blessed us with Scott and Diane in our congregation. We thank you for their Christian friendship and care, for their willing service in so many areas, and for the blessing that they have been to all of us. Please keep them safe as they move to Hawaii and bless their retirement together, that they may grow in love for you, and in doing so, grow closer to each other. Bless this new chapter of their lives in every way. Comfort and assure them and us with the certainty that in you, through faith and fellowship with each other, we are never truly apart, and that we will, in the end, be together forever, where there are no more goodbyes in heaven. Dear God, in your word, you promise us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. You have called us to take up the full armor of God, to take up the shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We implore you then to bless our hearts richly with your grace through your Holy Spirit. Give us a strong faith and an overwhelming love for our Savior. Only then will we be able to rout Satan from our lives, to turn away his temptations from our hearts. Protect us at all times from his attacks. Use that word of salvation to strengthen our faith. By your Spirit, keep us steadfast and true to your word. Cause us to search it diligently in private study, and to give prayerful attention to it when it's preached and taught. Strengthen our faith by your word, and cause the instruction, guidance, and encouragement it gives to produce rich fruits in our lives. Forgive us for those times when we have lost the good fight and fell into sin. Forgive us and renew us, strengthen us and sustain us until we finally enter the kingdom of glory in heaven. Make your word powerful to save wherever it is proclaimed, that more and more souls may be won for Christ and rescued from Satan. All these things we ask in your name, dear Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with our next hymn, Be Strong in the Lord.
Thank you.
Please rise. We continue on the bottom of page 10 with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, we give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray, as we join now in praying the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we ask that those who are communicant members of St. Stephen congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession partake with us in the Lord's Supper. We begin with those who would like to take the packets in the pews, and then we'll continue with those who would like to take the Lord's Supper at the altar. Please take out your packets now. We begin with the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now please take the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. And now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Now, at the direction of the usher, please come forward to receive the Lord's Supper.
Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you, the forgiveness of all your sins. Take and drink. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true body, the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. May this body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true Christian faith until life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace.
Please rise. We continue the singing of the Nunc Dimittis beginning on page 13 in your bulletin.
Of your peace.
You may be seated. We invite our choir to come forward to sing its song, A Benediction. Please rise. And receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is Onward, Christian Soldiers. I invite you to stand for the last verse.